Well, probably neither of them have a copyright.
You are listening to the Bible on Trial, brought to you by Spirit of Truth Ministry. The purpose of the Bible on Trial, as created by Rich Humpel, is to compare the current beliefs of Christianity to the actual words and teachings of Jesus Christ as he gave them to his own eyewitness disciples, and then discover if there are any differences. Now join the Spirit of Truth Ministry team for an eye-opening hour of investigation as we search for truth by putting the Bible on trial. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Bible on Trial. My name is Dennis Neufeld, and I am back here with the research and study group, getting ready for another wonderful time together, and we are delighted that you have taken some time out of your busy schedule, or as the British say, schedule, to join us today. Today is May 15. May 15, so it is 5-1-5-1-5. And apropos of that, we are in a period of palindromes, starting with the 10th and going through the 19th. So the middle number is what changes, and the outside two numbers are backwards to each other. So we have a 5-1-5-1-5, 5-1-6-1-5, 5-1-7-1-5, etc.
And it's, looks
like we do. Anyway, we are, as I said, delighted to have you with us. I want to call your attention to our chat room, which is open, and I will be on chat today, fielding questions and comments, and if there are any that are particularly of interest to the topic, I will be glad to pass that along. Better yet, what you can do is you can call in, even if you are on the internet listening, you can call in and push, you know, the number one button, and that will let me know that you want to be heard, and I would be happy to go over and put you on the air and have you ask your questions of our group. So we also have on our website, on our chat room, our websites, two websites listed and linked. The first one is our WordPress site. That is located at spiritoftruthministry.net. The second website is our original website. It is spiritoftruthministry.net/ capital S, capital T, and capital M, and we would consider it an honor if you would go over there and take a look at some of the things that we have posted, especially our book, The Spirit of the Church. That book was published in 2007 by Tate Publishing, and we have a copy for your viewing and reading on our WordPress website. We also have lots of good writing on that site by Rick Sterling. And our original website has also a lot of good writing on it from a variety and a number of our researchers here at Spirit of Truth Ministry. If you are listening, Wes, I am glad that you are here with us today. We also have Linda up on our listening on her phone. And good morning to Linda. And so let us have prayer, and then we will get started with our program. Father in heaven, we are here called according to your words, each by name, to study, to show ourselves approved to God, and then to display that approval to men and women on this earth. It is a tough row to hoe. All of us who have undertaken this project have lost friends And some of us have lost family because we have decided consciously and with great effort to honor the words of Jesus Christ that he gave to his own disciples, the very words that he received from his Father in heaven. We have lost our friends and families in many cases because these words of Jesus disagree with the founder of the Christian church. And we are here today to testify that the name of the Father and the name of the Son and the name of the Holy Spirit, our Mother, is all wrapped up in the words that they have spoken to us. And I pray now that you will reveal the meaning of the words of Jesus to us, the words that God gave us in the Old Testament, particularly in the Law and the Prophets. And I thank you for doing this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Suzette.
Morning.
Good morning, Don and Larry.
Good morning.
And good morning, Rick. How are you this morning? So you've been having to live in a alternate housing here for the last couple of days, I guess, or a week or so.
Yeah, well, it's been almost 2 weeks.
Oh, my.
It'll be 2 weeks this coming Tuesday.
Mm. Well, we hope you can get back into your house and get that bathroom fixed up again in good shape and in good time. So.
Yeah, I hope so, too. It'd be nice to get home. Ask a question to start out with. What is a testimony?
Well, to give you my own perspective, I had to go to court this week and give testimony. I found it fascinating because I guess my testimony caused a little bit of a firestorm, and one of the lawyers said, I object, and then as I was answering questions from this other side, the judge called them into chambers, they came back out, they got it all squared away, and I was able to give my testimony. And it all boiled down to whether or not I was giving fact or whether I was asked to give an opinion. The opposing counsel did not want to hear opinion. He wanted to hear fact. The judge, on the other hand, and the lawyer for the plaintiff that I was testifying for, said that my opinion in this case was based on fact and was allowable. Now, that's an interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was allowed to finish the testimony, answering the questions that the lawyer wanted me to answer. And at the very end of it, the judge said, "Are you done?" And the lawyer for the plaintiff said, "Yes." And the other lawyer, "Would you like to cross-examine this witness?" And he goes, "No, he did fine." Okay, so testimony is the words of truth to the best of your ability. That's what it is in the legal term, okay? I didn't remember exact dates. And the other lawyer said, "No, he's got, we need the dates, we need the date." And the judge says, basically, how many people can remember 2 years ago the exact date that somebody said something to them? Okay? God, on the other hand, when he gives testimony that is precise and perfect and accurate. And when Jesus brought the testimony of the Father to the earth, he brought accurate, complete testimony to this world.
Because
Fridays have been the day that our study falls under the description Bible on Trial, as our late good friend Dr. Rich felt an obligation to try to test everything. Those who are Christians believe in the veracity of the Holy Scriptures that bears the title Holy Bible. And everything between the covers of that book with the title Holy Bible is the holy, consecrated, and certain word of God. No one thinks to question. As Dennis shared with us not too long ago, one of our other studies, about his father-in-law, and that his father-in-law told Dennis that the King James Version of the Bible was the only authorized version, and that somehow or another he believed, well, he was certain, that the authorization for the translating and printing of the King James Version of the Bible was from God. And Dennis showed him that it was not authorized by God, it was authorized by King James, who may have thought of himself as a god, but wasn't.
And I find it fascinating that after I mentioned this to my wonderful father-in-law, that he said, I never saw that before. And he had been, quotes unquote, in the way for 50 years at that time. Or
church administrator, pastor.
As a pastor, yeah.
That's not only reading between the lines, but it's reading between the covers.
Well, and that's what we're talking about. Try to suggest to some devout Christian that the Bible is not the holy word of God.
Oh my goodness, don't even go there. Most of them will kill you. Oh, that's not funny. It's sacrilege.
Now here's the problem. If you say that without testing, and here's the beauty of faith. The beauty of faith is this. And that's why the devil... Ah, man, I cannot think of anything that he could have used that would have been more effective than faith. To keep people in the dark, to keep them believing a lie.
And you have to keep growing it.
And to ensure that they will never consider anything that would challenge their faith. Because a challenge to the faith only strengthens your faith. Mm-hmm. And that's a good thing. Okay. Oh, man, I tell you, he hit the jackpot with faith. There is no more secure prison to keep people in than that of faith. Because by faith, they don't see the bars. They don't see the lock. They don't see their condition. And effectively don't see the truth. The worst enemy, the deadliest enemy of faith is the truth. And faith is a shield that when effectively used can thwart the sword of truth time after time after time. In Psalms chapter 78, we read this, starting with verse 1. Listen to this law, my people. Pay attention to what I say. Pay attention to what I say. I'm going to speak to you in a parable and expound the mysteries of our past, what we have heard and known for ourselves, and what our ancestors have told us must not be withheld from their descendants, but be handed on by us to the next generation. That is the titles of Yahweh, his power, and the miracles he has done. When he issued the decrees for Jacob and instituted a law in Israel, he gave our ancestors strict orders to teach to their children. The next generation was to learn it, and the children still to be born. And these, in their turn, were to tell their own children, so that they too would put their confidence in God, never forgetting God's achievements and always keeping his commandments, and not becoming like their ancestors, a stubborn and unruly generation. A generation with no sincerity of heart, in spirit, unfaithful to God. God cares about what happens and is happening and has happened on this earth. And God has tried. He has tried to inform the people of earth, those that he made in his own image, and after their own likeness. He cares because he thinks of the people of earth as his children, his family, but they know no truth about him. He sent his son to this earth with a testimony. He instructed his son to faithfully deliver the testimony in public so that everyone around him would hear the words of his testimony. His testimony are the words of life. The words of eternal life. Not just good words to live by. They are that. But words that when you have learned them and put them into practice and share them with family and friends and neighbors and share them with others, you are breaking bread and giving them the bread of life, the bread that those who eat of it will never die. As he stood before the judge, Pontius Pilate, on his last day of life, Pilate had made a statement. The charges brought against him were that he was trying to make himself king, and that therefore he'd put himself in opposition to Caesar and must be put to death. So Pilate had said, "So you are a king." The Son of God said, you say correctly that I am a king. For this I was born and came into the world to testify to the truth. And those who are of the truth hear my voice. And Pilate's quick response was, "What is truth?" He did not want to know what the truth was. It was not a question. It was a statement. I've heard this same statement from quote-unquote good Christians. What is truth? I go to church on Sunday. I believe that the commandments were nailed to the cross. I believe that we are saved by our faith through the grace of God that was given to us with power at the resurrection.
Jesus is our personal Savior who raptures.
Jesus is their personal Savior. And you say, where do you find that in the testimony of Jesus? Oh, that's in Romans. But Romans is not the testimony of Jesus. Romans is a letter written by Paul. Oh, well, Paul heard Jesus talk. Jesus was telling Paul. In fact, Paul got all this information directly from God. Well, how can you be certain of that? Well, he says, and he performed miracles. Mm-hmm. Were you there? Did you witness these miracles that he has purported to perform? Mm-hmm. Well, no, but I know because he was killing people. He was killing the Christians. How do you know? Well, it says it in Acts. Well, how does the writer in Acts know? Well, it's Luke. How do you know that Luke wrote Acts? Well, he says right in there. No, he doesn't. How do you even know that a character named Luke even existed? Well, he's in the Bible. How do you know? Well, look. Well, does Luke, the Gospel of Luke, say, I, Luke, wrote these words? No. Does Luke even identify himself as the writer? No.
Look it up.
Were you there? No. But I know because I believe. And that's what's important. I believe.
Yeah, I've got faith.
You know what faith allows? Faith allows you to believe a lie as though it were the truth without accountability. God will not hold you accountable for believing a lie as long as you have believed it faithfully
and sincerely.
Yet, how then would you explain to God that you should be saved because of your great faith, and who knows what the truth is? You were acting on the best evidence that you had, and you were being a good person and doing all the right things. Do you know what the Father will ask you? Why didn't you listen to the testimony of my Son? I sent my Son into the world. I gave him a testimony. He made it clear that he got the testimony from me, and that what he was saying was word for word what he heard from me. Yet, you ignored his testimony. Well, how am I supposed to know? Those words are 2,000 years old. Who knows what the truth is? All kinds of things could have happened. There's all these translations. How am I supposed to know that what you said to him in Hebrew was what I read in English? Or all those copyists. Well, you know, none of the Bible writers even identified themselves. How am I supposed to know that those words in the Bible, in Matthew, Mark, and John, how am I supposed to know that those are actually the words of the testimony that you gave to your Son? You certainly cannot hold me responsible or accountable. I was acting as best I could with the best information, and I was doing faithfully. And the Father will say, who do you think that I am? Well, you're God. You created all things. And I worship you. And I praise your name. And I uphold your word. And God says, how do you even know I exist? Well, I believe. Do you believe in a phantom? Well, we're talking right now. You're not a phantom. But how do you know? How do you know? You say that God creates the universe, yet he is inept. Because although he wants to save the people of earth from the sin that the evil one has brought upon it, he doesn't have any clear way, and he cannot be trusted to preserve the words of the testimony which he gave his son. From the time that those words left his lips until the day today in 2015, we read from any number of translations in any number of languages. And how do we know which ones are reliable? And then we get on our knees and we say, Almighty God, if you are listening, help me find the truth. I guarantee you that when you commit yourself to find the truth and you ask God humbly to lead you to the truth, He will do it, because that's what He wants from you. He cannot do it. He cannot do it if you refuse to let go of what you have had all your life. You can't cling to the things of darkness and plead with God to show you the light. You must let go of the darkness. Kind of like that game of trust. I remember when I was in college, there was a course that you could take which had a part of it, the course was trusting. And the way it worked is that one person would be blindfolded and they would have to completely trust another person who was another member of the class taking that course. And they would, for a certain amount of time, be led around the campus. They'd have to trust them because they'd go to lunch and they'd have to trust them for the food that they were going to give them to eat because they were blindfolded. Wow. There were others where you would have the person that you were trusting in stand behind you, and then you would, with your eyes closed, fall backwards and trust that they would catch you. What I'm saying is, trust in God. Trust in God. Don't trust in faith. Faith will not save you. Because, as I said, by faith you can believe a lie. And God has no partnership with lies. Turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, I'm starting with verse 11. I tell you most solemnly, says the Son of God, we speak only about what we know. What do you know? And witness only to what we have seen. And yet, you people reject our evidence. We speak only about what we know and witness only to what we have seen, and yet you people reject our evidence. Imagine yourself sitting there in Nicodemus's place. You have been given the opportunity to sit across from the Son of God. I'm sure if you've ever thought about what you would ask or what you would say or what you would do if you were to be given the opportunity to meet the Son of God face to face, just you with him, what would you say? What would he say? Well, here we have an account, which I think would be more typical of what the experience would be of most everyone who would have the opportunity to sit in the presence of the Son of God, just you and him. And he would say, why didn't you pay any attention to my words? What would you say? Well, I did. I've read the Bible. I go to church. I help the poor. I feed the hungry. I visit those in prison. I'm kind to widows and orphans. He would say, those are all good. But why did you ignore my word? But I haven't. I have done. My faith is strong. If someone comes to me with some other words that challenge a faith, I stop up my ears and I shut my eyes and I turn my back to them. And I warn all of my church friends, don't listen. Why did the Son of God come to this earth. He did not leave us in the dark about the answer to this question. He did not come here for the sole purpose of giving his life. Because giving his life is not going to help anyone into eternal life who ignores what he says. Paul teaches that he gave his life and was resurrected so that those who believe could die with him and be resurrected with him. And that is the key to salvation. But that is not what the Son of God said. He did not come here because he had to die. He came here because the world had been lied to and it needed someone to testify for the truth. And yet, as he said to Nicodemus, you people reject our evidence. He was performing miracles that the people would testify to and say, no man could do these things. He must be a prophet. He must be from God. And yet, they rejected the evidence because they rejected the truth. They did not want to hear his testimony, and they worked very diligently to destroy his credibility. And of course, they had to use lies to accomplish it. The Son of God goes on to say, verse 12 of John 3, if you do not believe me when I speak about things in this world, how are you going to believe me when I speak to you about heavenly things? No one has gone up to heaven. No one has gone up to heaven. What is he saying here? What he's saying is this. Can you tell me from your recollection what is in heaven? Well, what would you say? You're sitting there one-on-one. And the Son of God says, tell me, what have you seen in the heavens? You say, well, I haven't been in the heavens. I don't know. You know, do you know God is in the heavens? Well, I hear he is. Do you trust him? Oh, I trust him. Yes. Do you know what he wants? Oh, I know what he wants. What does he want? He wants faith. Well, how do you know? Well, that's what I'm told. Well, you're being told that. Is the person that you're listening to, have they been in the heavens? Well, he says he went into the heavens. So you believe anyone who says he's gone into the heavens? Jesus is saying, I came from the heavens. I live there. That's my home. I have always lived there. I have lived in the presence of my Father and his angels. I came down from heaven to this earth. no one has gone up to heaven, witnessed what is in the heavens, and come back here to tell you what they saw. Have they? That's what he's saying. No one has gone up to heaven except the one who came down from the heavens, the Son of Man, who is in the heavens.
Jesus in Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20 confirms that by saying, "Then Jesus came up and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to have faith.'" No, it says, "teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." And now, as a to juxtapose that, I want to read what Paul says that God sent him to do. We find this in 1 Corinthians 1:17. "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power." Whose words contain the most eloquent wisdom that has ever been heard on this earth? The words that Jesus brought from the Father in heaven. And here, Paul is saying that he is not preaching his gospel using those eloquent words.
Because he said that he had a personal meeting with God,
mm-hmm.
and that God has informed him of all of these new things that he is proposing, although he says they're not new, they're old. But check them out. As you should do with everything. Anyone who comes to you saying that God has given them special information, and they give you that information, you need to check it out. Well, how do you check it out if you can't trust anything that is in the Bible? How can you check it out if you can't trust that which you would use to test it? Who knows whether the words in the Bible can be trusted? So by faith, I will trust them. That is not what God wants. God wants you to know him, and you can't know him through faith.
What we have been taught is that we can rely on God without evidence from God. In other words, believe whatever you want, and God will accept that as your truth. That is the principle of philosophy.
Well, if you know God through faith, then God is only that which you believe in, and what you believe him to be. In effect, you've created your own God when you believe in him through faith. You must know the truth before you can truly know God. In John chapter 6, verse 45, the Son of God quotes a text. He quotes Isaiah 54:13.
Isaiah again.
Isaiah 54:13. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. And to hear the teaching of the Father and to learn from it is to come to me. Come to me, all you who are weak and overburdened, and I will give you rest. But you will not experience that rest if you refuse to learn the truth. They will all be taught by God, and to hear the teaching of the Father and learn from it is to come to me. If you believe that the only way that the Bible can be understood is by faith, if that you believe that the Bible can only be accepted by faith, in other words, that the words you read in the Bible are good words, but not necessarily the words of God, unless you believe through faith they are the words of God. And then you can take those words and you can custom make them to say whatever you want them to say and make them confirm whatever you want them to confirm. A testimony is a rock, solid and secure and immovable. The testimony of the Son of God is not something that can be shaped and molded. It is not something that should be ignored.
What is the relationship between faith and truth? When Jesus was talking to Pilate, he said, for in John 18:37, for this reason I was born and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. In John 14:26, Jesus says, But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, when the Helper comes, she will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have asked you to believe by faith. Mm-mm. All that I have said to you. In John 16:13, Jesus also said, however, when she, and we won't get into that pronoun, the Spirit of truth has come, she will guide you into believing in me by faith. However, when she, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, has come, she will guide you into all truth. And she will not speak on her own authority, but whatever she hears, she will speak, and she will tell you of the things to come. does faith discount the power of the Holy Spirit to lead us into truth because faith does not require truth in order to operate?
Well, truth is actually the enemy of faith.
They are mutually exclusive, aren't they?
When the purveyors of lies are confronted with the truth, they have two roads. They have a choice. They can accept the truth and discard the lies, or they can go to war with the truth and defend the lies. And more times than not, they do the latter. If the God you believe in is Almighty God who created the universe, then why would you doubt that something that's so critical to him, something that he brought here to this earth at such a high cost, that he would have no power to preserve intact in a way that those who truly are seeking the truth would be able to discover and find the truth, even though it is 2,000 years since these words were spoken in the presence of the eyewitnesses?
Faith and truth are inversely proportional. We all start out in faith, but if you stay there, you will never learn the truth. The more truth you learn, the less faith you need.
And if what you have faith in is truth, then when the truth comes, it will only confirm that's a truth. But if what you have faith in is a lie, and the truth comes and exposes that lie, the response of almost everyone that I have had any experience with is they must defend the faith because faith is the key to their salvation.
And they tell you that they want to be more like Jesus every day, just like the old song. And my question when they state that to me is, did Jesus operate here on this earth by faith? If he did, he was not God. He was not the Son of God if he needed to operate by faith.
I know we're running out of time, and I want to close with this text. It is John 10, and I am reading verses 36 through 38. Yet you say to someone, the Father has consecrated and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because he says, I am the Son of God. If I am not doing my Father's work, there is no need to believe in me. But if I am doing it, then even if you refuse to believe in me, at least believe in the work I do. Then you will know for sure that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. Believe in the words of the testimony of the Son of God.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you all for being here today. I encourage you to join us tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Pacific time for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, we'll see you then. So long for now.